As a lot of you know, I always say a prayer before I start preaching, talking about clay. I like clay because you can make almost anything out of it. I guess the really interesting ceramics nowadays are sometimes even used in like pipes and engines and all kinds of other amazing things. And I want to encourage you to think about that because we are not all made for the same purpose, but all of us are made to be a blessing. And that is what this sermon is about. It's to thank God for all of the women who have blessed us in our lives and for all of us to ponder how we are called to bless others. Would you please pray with me? Loving God, guide our thoughts and words today. You are the potter. We are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want a little bit of congregational participation today. Anyone here teach anything, whether professionally or not? Anyone here build or repair anything, whether professionally or not? Anyone cook for folks for any reason, or maybe even if it's just yourself? That's most of you. Anyone here out there volunteering for some reason and volunteering in some way? Anyone here make anything at a factory, or maybe they used to make something at a factory? Not as many hands as I thought. We actually had more in the first service. That's surprising. Anyone here sew or crochet or knit? And I could go on and on and on. Are there a lot of things that people do here? Some of you make music. Some of you make art. Some of you write. The list could go on and on. Each of us has gifts and talents from God. Gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit. What do you feel called by God's Holy Spirit to do? What are the gifts that you are called to use by God's Holy Spirit? What do you have to share? And here's my key question for today. What can you do with excellence, with courage, with valor and bravery? What can you bravely do to help others in our world? On this day, on this Sunday each year, we honor mothers. We honor the many different kinds of mothers. There are biological mothers, adopted mothers, stepmothers, foster mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, great-great-grandmothers, legal guardians who are raising people from their family, and the list goes on and on. And to be a mother in some form, to raise up a child in some way, is a profound calling. And we honor and we thank God for all of the mothers. But biological motherhood is not the end-all, be-all of a woman's life any more than biological fatherhood is the end-all, be-all of a man's life. Rather, whether or not a person has birthed a child or raised a child, or maybe they wanted to raise a child but never had the chance, all people are called to be fathers and mothers, to be parents and caregivers in some way. Not everyone is called to be a legal or a biological parent. That's okay. God doesn't call us all to be exactly the same. And there are plenty of people who would have loved the opportunity for parenthood and life circumstances prevented it. Maybe health, maybe something else. But all of us are called to raise up those around us. All of us are called to be a blessing to those around us. We are all called by God's amazing and wonderful and powerful Holy Spirit to do something with excellence and valor and bravery to the blessing of humanity and to the glory and honor of God. And so that leads us into our scripture passage for today. This passage is from the last chapter of the book of Proverbs. And it's interesting. It's a passage, the first phrase of which is translated a lot of different ways. Sometimes it's translated the good wife. Sometimes it's translated the good woman. Or in the translation that we read for today, it's called a capable wife. But in recent years, there are many scholars who've said this isn't really a good translation for this passage. See, the first phrase goes like this, eshet chayil. So here's your Hebrew lesson for today. Everyone repeat after me. Eshet chayil. People offer that rather than just saying a capable wife or a good woman, that what that term really means is a woman of valor. I want you to consider that. A woman of valor. And why do they think that's what it means? Well, they say that because the words are the same words that they use in other parts of the Bible to refer to a warrior on the battlefield who is brave and courageous. Now, Megan and I have a Christian author who we really enjoy named Rachel Held Evans. And she based an entire book, in a sense, on that translation of this passage. The book is called A Year of Biblical Womanhood. It's a great read for your soul, and it's also really, really funny. So seriously, check it out if you want a good laugh. Now, Rachel came from a different faith tradition than I've grown up in, but she said, growing up, she hated this passage because she would hear it read at home and at church and then at the Christian college that she attended, and all it did was make her feel guilty. It felt like all this woman was doing was setting out an example that no possible human woman could ever live up to. Many women would read or hear this passage and they'd say, oh, there's no way I can do all this stuff that's listed. I can't do all this stuff for my family. I must not be a good Christian. But what if the point of this passage is not to lay out all the things that no mother can possibly live up to, but rather for God to say to all women, be a woman of valor, be an eshet chayil, do things with excellence and courage to bless those around you. In one of the other faith traditions that looks to the Old Testament, some Orthodox Jewish communities, this passage is not a passage that lays a guilt trip on people. In some Orthodox Jewish communities, a man is to, in Hebrew, sing this passage to his wife every week on the Sabbath to thank her for all she does to bless her family and those around her. I will not try to do that because I don't speak Hebrew and y'all don't want to hear me sing anyway. But the point is not to guilt someone, to make us feel like we're never enough. The point is to say, God has given us gifts and talents and skills we can use to bless those around us. So think about some of the women of valor in our community here in the Sauk Valley. What can we learn from them? Now, our world is pretty significantly different than when this passage in Proverbs was written. There aren't a whole lot of vineyards around here that someone's going to go out and plant with their bare hands. I don't know that any of you spin flax or wool by hand. If any of you do, I'm actually kind of interested in that. That's kind of cool. No one here, to my knowledge, has any servants, because let's be honest, this poem was written about a wealthy woman. Very well might have been written about a queen. But there are women of valor in our community that are doing all sorts of things. They are making things with their hands. They're raising up the next generation. They are blessing people. There's a lot of men of valor who are doing these things as well out in our community. So what are some of the women of valor doing all around us? Well, I see them volunteering in the schools. I see them helping out others in the nursing homes. I see women of valor teaching our children in the schools and at the YMCA and here at church. I see the women of valor who are running businesses. They're making beautiful art. They're writing beautiful things. They're healing the sick and the injured. Some of them are helping to bring the next generation into this world at the hospital. I see young women of valor who are teenagers but who are volunteering with those who are younger yet than them, blessing the people who are younger than them, being like big sisters to younger kids. I see little women of valor. I see the young girls in our church and in our community who are friends with each other, who are helping their neighbors, who are blessing each other. I see the mature women of valor who are still sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. In the last community where I lived, there was a woman who we called the nursing home evangelist. As soon as you moved into the nursing home in that community, she came and greeted you, brought you a gift, invited you to Bible study, sat down to get to know you, and then invited you to the church services they had every Sunday afternoon. She wanted everyone new to the nursing home to know that they were loved in Jesus' name and that they were invited to come and to be part of the community they had just moved into. There's not one way for a woman to serve God. A woman is not only called to be a wife or a mother. And there's no jobs that a woman can't serve. If you really look at the stories of the scriptures, there's a lot of women doing a lot of amazing things. There's Deborah in the book of Judges, for instance, who was called to be a judge, to sit in judgment so that there would not be conflict and so the justice would be done. And then in a time of oppression of her country, she was called to be a war leader and to go out and help her country fight for freedom. There's a woman who you've probably never heard of before, but she's in the Bible a couple of times, called Huldah, who is a prophet given inspiration by God to call the people of God towards a better future. There's the prophetess Anna, who greeted Jesus when his parents brought him to the temple as a baby to be dedicated to God. There's Prisca and Phoebe from Paul's letters in the New Testament, women who founded churches, who hosted churches in their homes, who taught the next generation of preachers so that they could go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. And then finally, there's Mary Magdalene and the other women who are at the tomb. There was a brief time in the history of the Christian church when the entirety of the Christian church was those women at the tomb who had the most amazing good news. Jesus had risen from the dead, and they were the first ones that God called to go and share that good news with the world. God gives people all sorts of callings to all sorts of things, and it really doesn't matter what your chromosomal arrangement is. This room is full of women of valor. How can we thank them? Maybe we should start doing what Rachel Held Evans suggests in her books. In her book, maybe we should start greeting each other with this. If you see a woman of valor, say, Eshet Chayil. Or maybe just woman of valor. How would that be a greeting to someone? What would it make them think? How would it make them feel? I hope it would make them feel good. Today, I ask you to honor a woman of valor. I ask you to honor a man of valor, too. Now, the person you honor today might be your mom or your grandma, might be your older sister or an aunt. It might just be a good friend. But when you see an Eshet Chayil in your life, a woman of valor who is serving God and blessing this world, can we give them the honor and the thanks that they have earned? And can we do it today? And probably tomorrow wouldn't be a bad thing, and the days after that as well. And for all of us, how can we be people of valor? God has gifted and created each and every one of us to bless those around us. All of us are called by God. Do not ever sell yourself short. God has given you gifts. It does not matter what anyone's ever said to you. It does not matter what anyone's ever done to you. It does not matter any self-doubt you might feel. It does not matter any guilt you feel over a mistake you made. God loves you and has gifted you to be a blessing to this world around us. Don't let anyone tell you that you're not a person of valor called by God to change this world in a little bit in Jesus' name. So I ask you today, how are you called to be a person of valor? How are you called to bless others with excellence and to help this world be more fully the place that God came to make it through Jesus Christ our Lord? May Christ show us how we are to bless each other today and every day. Amen.